This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Tom Vilsack. He serves as Secretary of Agriculture at the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington. Mr. Secretary, welcome back to the show.
Tony, it's good to be with you.
Let's start with one thing that seems to be a recurring theme. As I'm talking with members of Congress, I'm talking about, or we're talking with those within the industry, and competition seems to be that recurring theme there. So I guess the question for you to start with is increasing competition in the ag industry. Are you watching that?
Tony, that's obviously a priority for us. It's under the notion of more new and better markets. The understanding is that if you increase competition, you give producers potentially a better chance of getting a decent price for what they're growing and raising, and you give consumers choice in the grocery store, which ultimately can lead, hopefully, to lower prices in the grocery store. And we've been pretty aggressive in this space. We, first of all, took a look at how we might be able to maintain the existing capacity that we have in meat and poultry processing. We provided and are continuing to provide resources for very small production and processing facilities to reduce their inspection costs because they've had to incur significant inspection costs during the pandemic. We've also we've helped about 2,600 facilities with their inspection costs. We've also provided grants to 165 plants across the country that will allow them to upgrade their inspection processes so they'll be able to sell across state lines, which creates new and better market opportunities for those facilities and obviously creates more competition. We've also taken a look at the mid-supply chain needs of our processing industry, providing loan guarantees for cold storage warehousing. We've already approved two loan guarantees, about $35 million. There are another 11 that are in the process of being considered. And of course, the big opportunity is this fall. We received 318 applications for the grant money to expand new and or to build new or to expand existing processing facilities on the meat and poultry side. We got 318 applications. We're reviewing about 133 of those applications. Hope to be able to make awards in October and be able to launch the second tranche of resources to expand competition and capacity at $225 million as well this fall. So a significant amount of investment, as well as taking a look at how we might be able to strengthen existing regulations through our Packers and Stockyards Act to make sure that, again, producers get a fair shake. So I've been pretty busy in this area. And finally, doing studies on a variety of other areas that impact producers, the issue of seeds and the competition or lack of competition in that area, as well as the impact of retail, large-scale retail, how that impacts and affects ultimately producer income. So a lot of activity in that space.
Yeah, that competition umbrella is pretty, it's a large umbrella for sure. As you were explaining that, especially on the additional packing and increasing our rail space there, I was thinking about how the drought is starting to affect the herd, and it might be a good opportunity for us to segue into something known as Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities. What's that, and what can you tell us?
Well, Tony, I think it's really designed to try to figure out ways in which we can help farmers not only adapt and mitigate to the impacts of a changing climate, but also to create a new revenue stream or income source for the farm. We believe that there are opportunities to create what are called climate smart commodities. These are commodities that are produced through a series of actions on the farm that are consistent with climate smart practices, whether it's cover crops, whether it's rotational grazing, whether it's drip irrigation, things of this nature that are already being embraced by farmers across the country. Can we figure out a way in which that creates a new market opportunity for them? We know that food processing companies are very interested in being able to tell their customers that the food that we're purchasing or that they're selling and marketing has been produced in a climate smart way, that it's not hurting the environment, it's helping the environment. And we think producers can meet that challenge and in doing so perhaps create a higher value proposition for them. And they also will be able to qualify potentially for what are called ecosystem markets, private sector companies that need a certain environmental result to be able to offset their environmental footprint can actually work with farmers to create that result and pay farmers for that benefit. So we've put resources from the Commodity Credit Corporation Fund on the table at the suggestion and direction of farm groups like the American Farm Bureau and National Farmers Union and others. We put $1 billion and said, what would you do with this resource to advance this notion of climate smart commodities? Well, we got an overwhelming response, 1,050 applications for these resources. So it's not going to be easy to make these decisions about which of these great projects will be funded. It's about $18 to $20 billion of project requests for the $1 billion that we've identified. So we're in the process now of taking a look at these projects. We have a review panel of experts that are looking at the projects, rating them and scoring them. And eventually, hopefully sometime in August or September, we'll be in a position to begin announcing a number of these projects. And then we'll be able to monitor the performance of these projects, create the new market opportunities, and again, create that new revenue stream for our farmers.
I'm kind of thinking back. It's been a few years since the cap and trade discussion was happening on Capitol Hill, but there was a comment made in one of those House hearings that you can choose a carrot or you can choose a stick. And would you say that this is a carrot approach for trying to engage producers in conservation?
Well, I think it is, and I think it's basically a program that's voluntary. It's incentive-based, it's farmer-led and farmer-driven. As we've talked and listened to farmers and those who represent farmers and the food industry for that matter, they all pretty much indicated a desire for this type of approach. And I think the fact that over 1,000 applications were received is an indication that if you give farmers and producers the right set of incentives, they're going to respond. And I think we're going to learn quite a bit, and I think it's a significant transition. And when you combine that with the processing efforts with no more new and better markets and the effort to build more local and regional food systems to create additional market opportunities, I think the long-term future for agriculture is incredibly bright, notwithstanding many of the challenges that agriculture faces today and for that matter every day. But creating new revenue streams, new opportunities for farmers to profit, I think is an exciting opportunity.
I've also been thinking here that I believe we've talked on and off now for somewhere around 13, 14, 15 years or so. And one of my favorite questions for you, I hope you don't mind me asking this, one of my favorites, though, is always when I just step back and let you look into the crystal ball of what's happening and how many times you were able to lay out something that we would see maybe a few years down the road. So, can I ask you the crystal ball? What do you see?
Well, I think we've talked about a couple of those crystal ball moments. The opportunity for farmers to embrace climate smart practices and to lead, frankly, not just agriculture, but really the U.S. economy in a way that I think will be beneficial in the long term and provide international leadership as well on this issue of climate. You know, we're seeing tremendous drought. We're seeing storms and we've got to be able to give the farmers and ranchers and producers tools to be able to deal with this and still stay in business. So when you take a look at the climate smart activities, the additional processing capacity that's going to create competition, and also rebuilding the food, the local and regional food system. We learned, Tony, during the pandemic, the early stages of the pandemic, that our system, while it was efficient, was certainly not as resilient as it needs to be. And so we're building muscle, we're building fabric and connections, if you will, that will allow us over time to have producers with multiple choices in terms of where they market whatever it is they're growing and raising. And I think that transformation that's taking place of our food system is going to benefit farmers. It's also going to benefit consumers because it's going to give consumers lots of choices. It's going to give consumers the ability to know that when they spend their consuming dollar that they're maybe helping the local economy or they're helping the environment. And I think that's going to give consumers a good feeling about all of this. And it's going to better connect, I think, those of us who consume with those who produce. And I think that's also a benefit. So I'm excited about the future. I know there are challenges out there. I know times are tough. You know, we're dealing with the issue of fertilizer, for example. We know the costs are fairly significant. But we're also looking at creative ways to be more self-reliant when it comes to those inputs. And I think a couple of years from now, you know, we're not going to be as dependent on places like Russia for the fertilizer that's needed to grow the crops. We're going to be able to produce it here in the U.S. So I think the long-term future of agriculture is quite bright, and I'm really optimistic about it.
Mr. Secretary, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time, and I hope we can do it again down the road.
Absolutely, Tony. Take care.
Again, it's the Honorable Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture at USDA in Washington, D.C. on today's Agribusiness Report.